Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look back at a response at the end of Acts chapter 4, compare that to the beginning of Acts chapter 5, and examine ourselves in this situation. Without further ado, let's get started. Hello, welcome to the At the Table podcast. This is Pastor Gary, and today I'm going to be kind of reflecting a little bit on what we ended last week's message with Acts chapter 4, and this one verse that kind of feels a little bit out of place until you read Acts chapter 5. And just if you haven't been in our service, Acts chapter 4, the end of this chapter, Peter and John had just gotten out of prison, and they went back immediately to the other believers, and they prayed. They prayed, praising the Lord for his sovereignty in all areas, including even the persecution in their life. And then we saw how, starting in verse 32, we see that this commitment to prayer, what it looks like in their life, it changed them. It made them thankful, gracious, overly gracious, in fact, selling their own property and giving all the proceeds to the apostles to teach. And we see in verse 36 and verse 37 of Acts chapter 4, it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, so this is who you probably know the name from later in Acts, and it means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And so it feels like that is just like, okay, they're just giving an example. But then we see a contrast. This week, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 5, the first 11 verses, and it's called, this is Ananias and Sapphira. And Ananias and Sapphira, just giving you a heads up here, this is what we're talking about Sunday. They decide to sell their land. Good so far. They even keep part of the money. But they make this commitment together to give the money that they decide to give to the apostles, but make it seem like that it's all of the property. It's money, sale. And in fact, if later in Acts chapter 5, we see Sapphira, it tells us that she conspired with, she was complicit with Ananias. They were keeping part of the money back and they were lying about it. And so we see this stark contrast, right? We see this contrast at verse 36 and verse 37. It just says Barnabas sold his land, took the money and gave it to the church, all of it. And that appeared to be the common practice. That's what many were doing. They were inspired, infused with the power of the Holy Spirit, felt that they were so gracious for what God had done in their life that out of that overflow, they sold their property and didn't keep any of the money and gave it to the apostles and said, use it for the ministry. And they weren't doing it to be recognized. They weren't doing to be noticed. They weren't doing it to get a crown in heaven. They were just doing it because that's what they felt they should do. They were so in tune with the Holy Spirit, praying to God. The Holy Spirit was power, giving them power, just like Peter and John were given the power to speak boldly. They were given the power to live graciously. This gratitude in their life that they just were so humble that they gave that money to the church because they felt like the church was going to use that well. And what a testimony, right? What a testimony. And, you know, one side note here is just to me, it's staggering to think about if we lived in this country today in the 21st century with that same amount of trust in God, commitment to the vision, and we made wise decisions and we were able to live graciously with much gratitude and sacrificially and giving so much, you know, to the church. And I'm not just saying that because I'm the pastor. I'm saying that because that's how it looks to me from this chapter in Acts chapter 4. That it was the model of the early church, and that was the model that maybe we should aspire to. But all of that, to come back to this point, that there is definitely this contrast with Acts chapter 5. The first two verses, it says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, so together meaning they did this together in full knowledge, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, there you go, he kept back part of the money himself, but brought the rest and put it in the apostles' feet. You know, we go on here. If you read the rest of this, Peter calls him out and said, "You're lied against God. You made us believe you gave this because everyone else was giving all of their sale. You made us assume that you led us to believe, that this was all of the money." And, you know, I just want to pause again. I'm going to say this Sunday, but I'm also saying this now. You know, it wasn't like the problem was keeping part of the money. That was never the issue. You know, you can read Acts chapter 5. It says it's your property. You could have done what you wanted. You could have kept part of it. The problem was your heart, Ananias and Sapphira. And the problem was is that you were lying to God. And what really sticks out in me and in this is that, and I'm going to piggyback into the verses for today, is this contrast between a life surrendered to the sinful nature of self versus a life surrendered to God, okay? There is a stark difference when someone's living a life that is surrendered to their own sinful desires, whatever I want, whenever I want it, however I want it. Just look around and read the news, right? We see that everywhere. And if we're being really honest, and we're going to go there in a minute, we look in the mirror and we see, boy, sometimes I make a lot of decisions based on what's best for me. Makes a preacher stop and go, boy, that's a low blow, Pastor. But on top of that, it also makes me realize what does a heart look like that's surrendered to God? You know, we can read throughout Scripture everywhere that God is a God that's after our heart. He's concerned with our soul. He wants us to surrender to Him. You know, in John chapter 15, one section of verses I quote a lot, Jesus is teaching in the upper room and he's telling his disciples, abide in me. That's what's most important. Remain in me, remain in me, remain in me, remain in me. It's not about stuff. It's not about prestige. It's not about honor. It's not about anything from this world. It's all about remaining in me, growing closer to me, repenting, turning from this world, turning towards the cross and pursuing Christ. And this is hard. That may be the understatement of the century. This is incredibly hard. But turn with me, if you have your Bible, over to Galatians chapter 5. I've just finished reading and studying a little bit here in Galatians last week in my Bible reading plan, and I really appreciated the commentator on Through the Word bringing out these points about the contrast between the acts of sinful nature, so the acts of sinful nature that we all have, versus the acts or the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so these are common passages, but let me just read and compare this a minute, and then we'll wrap this up, probably a little shorter than normal. But if you are following along in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, it says, "So I say, I live by the Spirit." This is Paul writing to the church. "And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Well, what are they? Jumping down to verse 19, it says, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Full stop. Let me just be real with you here. If we're serious about being like Christ, about remaining in Him, we're going to be serious about eradicating these acts of the sinful nature from our lives. Now, full disclosure, you can't remove it. What can? The power of God through the Holy Spirit in your life. How do we get that? When we accept Christ as our Savior, we confess that we need Him, we repent, and we place our faith in Him, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that the Acts chapter 4 church was talking about. The same power of God. And when you receive this, you receive all of it. You know, what's interesting to me is I was talking to someone at church last week after the service and was talking about, I forget even how we got there, but one of us made the comment, boy, I want I want more of Jesus every day. And he goes, you know what I want? I want less of me. And I was like, ooh, touche. More of Jesus would crowd out more of me and leave less of me around. At least that would be the hope. So as we think about these things, as you think about these things right now, let me just be honest with you. One that's jumped off the page to me was fits of rage. And you might be like, Pastor, you don't ever get angry. And I'm like, ah, you've not been around me enough. Or maybe you have been and you haven't seen it. What really broke my heart as I was listening to this passage last week was my responses to people, sometimes, oftentimes, those closest to me. In the middle of what I was doing, what I wanted to do, they came in and needed help, had a question, whatever it was, I would sometimes respond angrily. Now, I didn't fly off the handle. I didn't get over angry. I didn't swing at anybody. I didn't even punish anybody. But in my heart was saying, oh man, I can't believe I'm so angry right now. Like, leave me alone. And I was like, whoa, stop. That is an act of sinful nature. That is sinful nature. So what I immediately did when I was listening to this passage was I stopped and I repented to God. And I even the next person I talked to, I said, I was really sorry. I apologized for my angry outbursts. I would work to pray that the Holy Spirit would change my heart and I wouldn't do it again. And sadly, I probably will, but that's part of the sanctification process. I sure hope that it happens a lot less. Ridding yourself, that of this sinful nature, those things are evidence that our soul needs a little bit of work still. Continuing on, though, in verse 22, where we talk about the good things, but the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, that evidence and actions of based on which are of the Spirit and clearly not of ourselves. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. What a contrast. What a contrast. Life lived empowered by the Spirit versus life lived driven by the sinful nature. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I look in the mirror, I'm not happy with how I'm responding. And so I must get on my knees, repent, and ask the Holy Spirit to lead me, to guide me, to enable me to actually be more like Jesus. So if you're able to watch or join us this Sunday, you can go to gccofalliance.org and click on the live feed link, and you can watch it if you're not one that's in the area. But I encourage you to join us Sunday. We're going to look at this passage a little bit further, Acts chapter 5. But for you that are just podcast listeners, that's the challenge. Are you constantly reflecting and taking your life to the Lord and saying, God, reveal in me, just like in Psalm 139 or 51, where David is saying, you know, creating me a clean heart, you know my heart, search it, reveal the things that need corrected, God, and bring them to the surface, and then I surrender them to you, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can stand here before you now behind this microphone and say, God has the power to change your life. All we have to do is recognize that and surrender our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Ask God to allow the Holy Spirit to draw us closer to Him. Well, I hope this message has encouraged and equipped you in your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. And until next time, everybody at the At the Table Podcast, I'll see you later.
You have been listening to the At the Table Podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.